This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and there's going to be a much different look to the U.S. Senate come 2011. That's because in less than 24 hours, two members of the U.S. Senate, both Democrats, said they will not be seeking re-election later this year. The first news came from North Dakota three-term Democrat Byron Dorgan, who was a huge shock in announcing he would not seek another 6 years here in Washington. The other, Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd, who's been in town for 30 years as a senator and 6 years before that as a member of the House of Representatives. Most of the attention going to Dodd because he's been a very prominent figure on the most recent debates in terms of reforming the financial industry as well as the health care system in this country. Speaking in his home state of Connecticut, Senator Dodd says it's time to go.
What is different about today, however, is not to announce the beginning of yet another campaign for the United States Senate, but rather to announce that after 35 years of representing the people of Connecticut in the United States Congress, I will not be a candidate for re-election this November.
One of the initial reactions to both of these announcements from Senators Dodd and Dorgan is simply a reading of the polls. Dodd is trailing his likely Republican opponent, former Republican Congressman Rob Simmons, while Senator Dorgan is badly trailing the current Republican governor of North Dakota, John Hoeven. However, Senator Dodd says this decision had nothing to do with the possibility that he might lose later this year.
I'm very aware of my present political standing here at home in Connecticut, but it is equally clear that any certain prediction about an election victory or defeat nearly a year from now would be absurd.
Dodd says that he went through a very difficult year in terms of trying to shepherd major pieces of legislation, chairing two major committees, especially as he took over for Senator Ted Kennedy briefly on the Senate Health Committee. Dodd also lost a sister last year, as well as his good friend, Senator Kennedy. He says all of that, as well as some other issues, add up to the fact that it's time for someone else to serve.
But none of us is irreplaceable. None of us are indispensable. And those who think otherwise are dangerous. The work to make our nation a more perfect union began long before I was elected to the Senate, and it will go on long after I am gone.
The announcement by Senator Dodd actually improves the Democrats' odds of keeping that seat later this year. Before Dodd even announced officially that he wasn't going to run for re-election, the state's longtime Attorney General Richard Blumenthal announced he would in fact be seeking the Democratic nomination. For the Republican frontrunner Rob Simmons, not much has changed, he said. The opponent has, but not the issues.
And I think that just because you change the face, you don't change the race. It's really the issues that have people upset here in Connecticut and elsewhere. Deficits, high spending, weakness on national security. These are the issues that I've been running on for the past year and will continue to run on.
Over in North Dakota, it's not clear yet whether the Republican governor there, John Hoeven, will in fact run for the Senate. Just in 2008, he won his third term as governor of the Peace Garden State. The Democratic congressman in that state, Earl Pomeroy, says he will not be running for Senate. And MSNBC host Ed Schultz says he has been asked by several major party members in that state to seek the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. And the Democrats got the hat trick in a very short period of time as Colorado Democratic Governor Bill Ritter says he will not be seeking a second term as governor of the Centennial State. Could still go to Democratic hands. They have a couple other candidates who are ready to jump in pretty much imminently here. Former Republican Congressman Scott McInnes is likely to be the Republican nominee there. Back here in Washington, the issue of national security is still very much front and center. Following the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day on that flight between Amsterdam and Detroit, President Obama late Tuesday explaining how the intelligence failures are completely unacceptable.
Now, I will accept that intelligence by its nature is imperfect, but it is increasingly clear that intelligence was not fully analyzed or fully leveraged. That's not acceptable, and I will not tolerate it.
Also not acceptable, according to California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren, is the president's flawed view of this conflict that we're in. He says the president's dead wrong when he thinks that these attacks that we're dealing with are a series of isolated events.
Those are not isolated instances. These are part of an overall conflict. And what it means is that not only are we engaged on a daily basis with the war against those who use terror to take away our liberties and to destroy us, but it means that intelligence is ever more important.
And Congressman Lundgren told us in an interview you can hear at worldnetdaily.com or radioamerica.org that to get that intelligence, you have to be able to interrogate your suspects, something that can't be done when President Obama keeps treating them like Americans.
Well, I mean, starting from the very beginning, you have to have an acknowledgement of what it is we are facing, number one. Number two, you have to understand that that means the criminal justice system is inadequate to deal with this.
He says the president has done that far too much, including the case of the attempted airline bomber as well as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Elsewhere up on Capitol Hill, Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying thanks but no thanks to C-SPAN and other efforts to shed some sunshine on the final stages of the health care debate. Pelosi says this has actually been, contrary to Republican talking points, perhaps the most open debate in congressional history.
There has never been a more open process for any legislation, and anyone who serves here's experience.
The man who terrorized the United States Memorial Holocaust Museum has died, James Von Braun. You may remember last June he walked right into the front door and opened fire inside the Holocaust Museum, killing one security guard before he was shot himself. He died at a prison hospital in North Carolina at the age of 89. And on a much lighter note, there'll be a new member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, and just one. Longtime Expos, Cubs, Red Sox, and Marlins outfielder Andre Dawson getting in with 77% of the vote. 75% is needed for enshrinement. Two other baseball greats fell just short. Longtime pitcher Bert Blylevin, who has been on the ballot for many years with 74.2%. And in his first try, longtime second baseman Robbie Alomar came in with 73.7%. On the interview front today, head to RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com. There you can catch my interview with longtime USA Today White House correspondent Richard Benedetto. He talks about the impact of C-SPAN getting involved in the healthcare debate and whether or not it should be made public for the American people to observe. We'll also talk with Dr. Carl Mueller of Open Doors USA as his organization reveals once again its list of the world's worst countries when it comes to the persecution of Christians. And we'll talk with longtime Democratic strategist and former Joe Lieberman chief of staff Michael Lewin about the retirement of Senators Chris Dodd and Byron Dorgan. All that at RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.